It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yeah, baby. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Next chance to get the Whataburger G-Bag Nation flag for Flagtober 2024. Denton Firehouse on Friday there with Sean and RJ, 6 to 10, Brian.
I think Chief's on that call, aren't you?
I'm going to be with the fellas, man. Going to be in Denton. So probably hit Fry Street as I usually do.
I'll meet you out there
after the show on Friday morning.
I might just do a remote show from Fry Street on Friday with you guys.
That would be kind of fun. The weather's supposed to be beautiful all week.
Yeah, I'll just pop up, post up the cool beans there.
Patio show.
I'm here for that. Yeah.
I'd love to do a patio show.
We'll just share a picture of audios.
I am excited about this. Because it's going to be a nice, crisp morning.
Yeah,
which is different because a few months ago when I did it in Glen Heights, which was an amazing time, it was a sweat fest. Mm-hmm. To be honest, heat of the summer.
But you love a good sweat fest.
I do.
Are you hoping for free gear like you normally do?
Well, there's going to be free food. There's going to be free breakfast.
I'm talking about you getting free gear, like a free shirt.
They're like, hey, do you want to do the firehouse thing? And I was like, is there free breakfast again?
Yeah.
And they're like, yes, of course.
But what if they give you like a firehouse shirt, like the firehouse?
That'd be good. Yeah, that'd be
your
good.
Name on
I wear my Glen Heights firehouse one.
It looks really nice.
All the time, yeah. Glen Heights, the hospitality was through the roof.
I'm a little jealous. Ends on a long drive, though, but maybe I'll try and make it out there.
Dude, come crash the party.
And then I'm just going to stay out there.
Yeah, then we'll go to Crooked Crust together.
I'm going to use a sick day. Just don't tell the boss.
I think that's a brilliant
what
idea.
What do you think? Wink, wink.
Live it up, man.
Glad
it's Friday.
Glad we didn't talk
go.
About it.
Relive the glory days.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get to some NFL news of the day. Brian, you want to perk up a little bit, bro?
Me? I'm good.
Perk up, dude.
Perk up.
Let's get you 6 to midnight. How about a mocky draft? You're midway through the college football season.
Oh, let's do this. I like this.
How high are those Colorado players?
Let's go. Oh, my gosh. If you want to know what the Cowboys took here, I'm going to tell you. And this got Twitter talking and chirping. Eric, you might want to go ahead, close the ear holes here. Put some earplugs in, buddy.
Oh, we're going to draft a running
back.
You
might not like this.
I already know where you're going.
I'm ready to fight. Let's fight.
I get to blame, Jason Reed for this one? Is that who did it? Jordan Reed?
This is Jordan. It's not a Jason. It's a Jordan.
Jay Reed.
Is it really a Jason Reed?
No, it was probably a Jason Reed name.
It's somewhere on the face of the earth.
It was right there. It was on the tip of my tongue.
But yeah, it's Jordan Reed, NFL draft analyst. He does have Shedeur Sanders going number one overall.
Of course he does.
He does. Travis Hunter goes number two
team?
Overall.
Which team?
Browns taking Shedeur. Travis Hunter goes to the Patriots at number two.
Deion is going to riot.
Yeah, he's going to be really upset.
Shedeur will never wear a Browns uniform.
He's got the Raiders trading on up to take Cam Ward at the fourth overall pick out of Miami.
I knew we would do it.
He's just fast enough for you, Al.
We've got Tom Brady now. We're so excited.
Brady is a big Cam Ward guy. Carson Beck goes 10 to the Giants. That's the other quarterback.
Ooh.
Texas fans out there, Kelvin Banks Jr., the offensive tackle.
He might be the best
Dolphins.
Tackle. I know they talk about my guy Campbell out there at LSNU, but this guy Jones is pretty
Campbell
darn good.
Went at 7 in this. Both of them guard, tackle, flex, according to Jordan Reed. But at 15 overall, the Dallas Cowboys.
Take the runner from
select. Ashton Jeanty, running back from Boise State, and here's what Jordan Reed has to say about him. Jeanty is off to a historic start to the season with the second most rushing yards and touchdowns through 6 games in the past 20 years of college football. He's got 841 yards after contact, first in college football, and 255 more than the next best rusher. That stat speaks for themselves, and Jeanty would be an instant boost for the Cowboys as a runner and a receiver out of the backfield. Dallas dead last in NFL rushing yards per game, total yards per carry, and rushing touchdowns. Ashton Jeanty, first round, Dallas Cowboys. How we feeling?
Oh, that'd be horrible. You know, I mean, middle of the second round, it'd be good.
Come on, dude.
But, you know, even when I watch him, I'm like, here's a guy that's not big enough, not strong enough, not fast enough to be like a surefire can't miss. He's playing against small schools. He's playing against guys that will not be playing on Sunday. Like, nobody on the other teams that he's been playing are going to be playing on Sunday so far. And when you see him run, it's like, how fast is he? So you Google his 40 time, it's like 4.4s. So I don't know why a guy who weighs 210 pounds and is 5'10" has captivated the nation as well as he has. Because watching his highlight videos, he's got good vision and he's got good change of direction, but there's nothing special about this dude.
The level of competition, I understand that. It's not even about the player himself. Now, he is averaging 10 yards per carry. Like, the numbers are that he's racked up here are through the roof ridiculous, and he's a super fun player to watch. The one thing I would disagree with, like, the strength factor, like, it seems like he's running through six defenders every single play, but the level of competition is certainly not quite there. And it's just, what do we, this would be an overcompensation the other way of like the running back position. Okay. Don't do the Zeke thing, you know, but then it's like, okay, then you're going to swing back the entire other way now where you're not going to value it at all. And you're just going to throw a bunch of Rico Dowdle and washed up Zeke and Dalvin Cook, whatever. And it's the worst running back room in the league. Find the happy medium. This would be swinging back to the, okay, we're going to really value the running back position too much now. How about you find a sweet spot somewhere in there? You can find, especially if this is going to be a class with a bunch of good running backs, like I'm hearing it is, and yeah, we're seeing it, like, you have way more holes than that. Detroit does it with Jahmyr Gibbs. Sure, man. They already have the best offensive line in the league. They don't draft Jahmyr Gibbs and then say, oh, let's give him an offensive line.
You think they're going to take an offensive lineman in the first round again?
I don't know what they're going to do. I really don't. They have, I mean, the options are really endless when you have the amount of holes that the Cowboys have.
You get 5 years of Ashton Jeanty, or you risk taking another Mozzie Smith. Well, which one would you prefer?
Well, why are you making it Mozzie Smith? Why can't it be another Tyler Smith?
It could be any, let's say, that's the risk that you have.
I think he's right about taking a defensive lineman. That's why I think I would see do
going
that.
Okay. And or tackle.
Taking a running back? Like, we know how dependent running backs are on what is around them.
I'm just saying, he asked you, would you take a defensive tackle or would you take a running back?
I mean,
I would probably take a defensive tackle before running
and
back.
And he said the defensive tackle was Mozzie Smith.
And what if it turns into Mozzie Smith?
In the hypothetical that he's Mozzie Smith. Okay, what if he turns into Trent Richardson or Todd Gurley?
What if he doesn't? What if he's Jahmyr Gibbs?
If he's Jahmyr, he won't be Jahmyr Gibbs because he doesn't have the best offensive lineman and the best play caller in the league.
I just don't
said he
the
breaks
anti-
a lot of tackles.
Yes, he does when he's playing a bunch of teams that have no business being on television.
Well, I mean, I heard
he plays at Boise State.
Tyler Smith.
He's not
where?
Doing this to Georgia.
Tyler Smith played at Tulsa.
He reminded us
that Tulsa's no good at football.
Yeah.
Eric did.
Well, they're not.
I mean,
that doesn't mean that Tyler Smith did end up being good. That's awesome. It's fair to question. You did too. I got the video of Walchuk throwing his pen at Pluckers on draft night when Tyler Smith got drafted. So let's not have too much revisionist history. And it's not 100% about the player. It's about you don't draft a running back when you have a team full of holes in the first round.
I'm not anti taking a running back. I think the first five years are going to
totally
be the best that you're going to get of that player. And if it ends up being a guy that you think is the best player on your board.
Bijan Robinson's a game changer. He's making the Falcons just unstoppable. I love watching the Falcons play because they score so many points all the time. And they're high flying, and that running back has made all the difference for them. Mm-hmm. And so I'm fired up for what the Falcons got going on right now.
Yeah. I'll take a chance at a running back if Ben Johnson's my coach.
Yeah, sure. Maybe it ends up being Ben Johnson.
But I've listened to the two of you complain about the running back position,
but we don't want to take the guy in the first round.
If Ben Johnson's my coach, give me a chance at a running
back. We have a lot of years where we're complaining about the kicking situation. I don't want to draft one in the first round.
Nobody,
don't do that.
Nobody takes a kicker in the first round.
But the whole positional value,
it always changes. There was a time like linebackers don't matter, right? Now you'd love to have a great linebacker.
Yeah.
If the player's good, I think the whole positional value here, it's a silly conversation. Give me a good football player. That's all I care about.
Linebacker became important because they proved they can rush the passer and cover. running backs have not proven they can affect the passing game yet.
Christian McCaffrey was a really good running back. Didn't do S for the Panthers because they sucked. That's a finishing piece for a championship team in San Francisco. That's the difference. It's just a timeline thing.
But you want to run the football for Dak Prescott, right?
Absolutely.
So you've got your quarterback. You don't need to draft your guy. You're locked into him, but the running game is going to help the offense overall. So the running back is not something that's going to help you try and possibly get to a contending level.
You're losing Zach Martin. Yeah. Don't you want to replace him?
You just said yesterday, I can go get another guard.
Yeah, I
and can't. Maybe they have one on the roster already. That's very possible.
It's hard to say that they do at this point.
For TJ Bass?
But maybe they do. But I can tell you right now, getting the Zach Martin problem fixed across your offensive line will do wonders for you. Yeah. And you know this. I am turn and burn.
But I do think the first 5 years, like if you're getting a guy that you think is special, and I'm not advocating that Ashton Jeanty is. I haven't done enough homework on him yet and really studying him.
Sure.
But, I mean, to me, I think there's always exceptions. I'm not as anti-taking a running back in the first round.
And he's got him at 15. You know, that's the beginning of a spot that if you can guarantee me he's special, then I would consider it.
Like, but I just don't think Jeanty is that. I'm not going to do that. But middle of the first round, maybe. Like, I wouldn't hate it.
The big thing is that, generally speaking, and when you talk about, like, linebacker, it's another one of these things. It's just the drop-off from what gets picked in the first round to what gets picked in the fifth round isn't that much. Like, with a quarterback, generally, yes, it's
the first round
mostly, the drop-off. Yeah, you got to take your quarterback, your awesome edge rusher. Because generally speaking, the first-round edge rusher compared to the fourth-round edge rusher, there's generally a huge gap. First-round running back to fifth-round running back ain't that big. Same with linebacker, oftentimes, generally speaking.
He plays on the West Coast, too. They don't play good defense out there.
He's a Frisco Lone Star kid. You know, bring him home, man. Mm-hmm. Bring Ashton.
He knew it was good for him getting out of here.
He did.
You know, well, where they actually make defensive players.
He followed in the steps of Jay Ajayi. Similar also Frisco product, went to Boise State.
And he was awesome for 5 seconds, and then his body broke down. Because it happens to running backs not named Derrick Henry.
Yeah, he had a leg injury that was entering the league that was already a problem for him. All right, here's Bill B. Also could be your next head coach, possibly. Talking on the Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray. What do you think about this Dallas Cowboys team?
What do you see with what's going on with the Cowboys? They can't stop anybody. They have a lot of injuries, and it's just snowballed.
It certainly looks like a tough situation down there in Dallas. I'm sure that ownership is very frustrated about not only the start of this season, but the end of last season. And it's just tough. They had a great year last year and then a very poor performance against Green Bay in the playoffs. Got off to a good start this year in Cleveland, and then it's been pretty rocky since then. And, you know, meanwhile, Steven and Jerry Jones have shelled out a lot of money to some very high-profile players and tried to give the team as many resources as they can to win. And just haven't had good results. So, you know, I've always talked about Mike McCarthy. I think he's one of the best coaches in the league. Mike Zimmer is one of the best defensive coaches in the league. And Bones is a great special teams coach, but for some reason, it's just not coming together. Something's going to have to start happening fast, and you know, I don't know enough internally about what that is, but on everybody, it's got to, you know, play, coach, and just generally perform better. But I'm sure there's a lot of frustration down there about the way things have gone so far.
Who was huffing and puffing there?
I don't know. That was a weird sound effect.
It
was
Was that part of a video? It's part of the video.
Okay.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. God, I thought somebody was huffing and puffing.
Like cutting to graphics and other stuff that's there, but it is kind of annoying.
Okay.
To listen to.
Sorry,
that's a trick that they keep people engaged with the video on. If they put little sound effects in their transitions and stuff, I see them working. Sounds weird on the radio. Especially with Belichick sped up and so clipped together like that. But, you know, it's clear that Belichick is talking in a way to show reverence and respect for everybody involved and that he's interested in the job.
You know, he's definitely interested in the
job. Major difference in how he's talking about this and the Jets openings.
100%. Now, tomorrow night we've got Saints and Broncos. I might do something a little crazy here, guys. I might take the Broncos in Survivor this week. And I don't think their team's any good. But the Saints are absolutely broken right now. And Rashid Shaheed, and I feel like I was saying his name wrong the entire time. That's why I stopped and I just made sure I read it thoroughly. But he's headed to L.A.
What conclusion did you come to on his name?
Rashid Shaheed.
You nailed it.
Thank you. He's going to undergo surgery for a meniscus, so he might end up moving to IR. Taysom Hill's not going to be playing. Chris Olave is going to be out with a concussion, and Derek Carr is going to be out. So this is also a revenge homecoming game for Sean Payton heading back to New Orleans. I mean, maybe Spencer Rattler, who did not play badly against Tampa Bay. Offensively, they were able to put up some points. Their defense was just absolutely god-awful. But the defense might be bad enough where Bo Nix, like looks semi-serviceable in this one. Maybe he can run around on him. I don't know. I don't feel great about this, but I'm kind of leaning maybe taking the Broncos tomorrow, guys.
It's one of the few times you could at least make the argument that you would do something like that, Wolchuk. This one's in New Orleans,
it
right?
It is in New Orleans.
So that has to play a factor in this.
It is a road game. And I think we should go back and look at how many of the road teams have won on Thursday Night Football. I think the Cowboys might be the only one.
For this season? Yeah. You might be right about that.
I think the road team overall in Thursday Night Football don't win at all.
49ers did win last week.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
Falcons won the week before they were at home.
Maybe I'm
Cowboys a close call. Won on the road. Jets won at home. Bills won on the road. It's actually pretty split here. Chiefs won at home.
Jeez.
So we're kind of going every other week. So last week, road team won. This week, maybe the Saints do win.
We were laughing at the Saints defense, dude. It felt like every clip I saw of the Buccaneers putting up a 50 spot on them over the weekend involved five tackles being missed.
Mm.
And Bucky Irving himself, the running back, generated seven missed tackles, right? Godwin on his one huge play probably broke like four or five tackles.
Pretty incredible.
And they gave up, the Saints defense just gave up the most yards generated on missed tackles in an NFL game this season. And let's not forget, the Cowboys played the Ravens this season.
Oh,
so to think about what the Saints just put on film defensively.
Man, imagine what Ashton Gentry could do against that defense. I'm just saying, just bringing it back Ashton Gentry's going to kick their ass.
Well, I think we're going to find when we look back at the All-22, the Saints had to have been playing with 10 guys.
Maybe.
That's the only explanation
for
this.
They were doing the opposite of Dan Lanning. They're like, crazy. We're going to play with 10, not 12. Yeah. Hey, real quickly, true or fart, though, I've seen reports Tom Brady's first move is Vegas' minority owner. He wants to try and get Belichick there as the head coach.
Wow.
You think there's a little meat on that bone?
I don't think so. I'm going to go butt crack on that one.
Okay, I think that could be butt crack, too.
Yeah, it didn't seem like they were seeing eye to eye.
Thanks, guys. So much more. I'll try throwing it in
later. There he goes. Wolchuk's NFL News Today. Most afternoons, 3 o'clock.
The running back matters.
Sean and RJ are going to be at the Denton Firehouse on Friday right off of 35. Next chance to get that G-Bag Nation flag. Go say hi. Chief's going to be working with them. We got a proper rim session coming up next to look at the top stories in basketball. What's cracking, Chief?
Well, we got some good stuff on Klay Thompson, a Luka update, and all the Wimby love is a-flowing right now. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next year in the nation.
Welcome back, Nation. It's time to talk some basketball here with you. Mavs will be in action tomorrow against Milwaukee on TNT, a chance to watch a lot of new Mavs, a very exciting roster. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is hurt in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankaffirm.com. Here's the Chief.
Yeah, I'd like to just issue an apology here. I've been drinking green tea all day, and Wolchuk brought the demons out of me there with the running back stuff.
Oh, I thought you didn't see you've been farting.
That was gold.
Let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids to bed. The G-Bag Nation's going all 56 inches around that rim.
It's draft season, baby. Rain dance.
Just too early to be fighting about prospects, dude.
It's never too early.
I shouldn't have done that to myself.
It's never too early. Let the fire
Wolchuk
out.
Drew me offside with a Mozzie Smith.
You're trying to use a first rounder for a running back, Chief. Let him have it.
He's like, shut up.
What if he's Barry Sanders and the guy you're drafting is Mozzie Smith? Now what?
Hey, they haven't had success with defensive tackles. Now I'm bleeped.
Got me.
In this hypothetical that you just painted, you just gave me Mozzie Smith, and now I'm supposed to win the hand? Go F yourself.
I know my audience.
It really is always a special occasion when CA, the GOAT, informs us that we will be getting two regular season Mavericks games before having to watch the Dallas Cowboys get railed in San Francisco.
Thank you, Chris.
How crazy is that, dude, that the Mavericks season, it's basically, it's upon us. When you go to the finals, you blink and boom. We just had that same realization with the Stars a little bit. Like, gosh, dang it, dude.
And the Rangers. It's crazy when you have teams that are actually like good and going to championships and stuff. Like,
yeah.
God, that's
it's amazing how quick
that's
the offseason can be. If you play your cards right. Well, it's true because a week from tomorrow, the Mavericks tip off at home versus Wemby and the Spurs. And then on Saturday of that, it'll be October 26th. That's when they go to Phoenix to take on the Suns. So you'll get to see the Mavericks in two meaningful games before the Sunday night extravaganza in Santa Clara. Now, your Mavericks update, of course, Mike Curtis, who will be on with Sean and RJ, I believe, sometime next week, Dallas what? Morning News.
I thought we were getting Mike Curtis. He's a good buddy of mine.
Yeah. Yeah, we should just sneak him in on Monday when they get him on Tuesday and be like,
and
sorry.
Just have him first.
Didn't leave any meat on that Mike
we're
Curtis bone there
the
for you guys.
On all the Mavs insiders.
Jason Kidd said Luka will most likely not participate in tomorrow's game, but he did go through a full practice today.
Good.
So I think that's pretty much, yeah, we'll go ahead and keep Luka in the bubble wrap there until Thursday night when things are for real and we have a collision course with Wemby. And we'll get to Wemby here in just a moment. I did want to give you the quote here, and I think this makes sense for sure. Because I think this was their one true intent, and then the rest of the offseason moves they made were kind of because that's how everything fell. But Nico Harrison says, you know, honestly, after the finals, we felt that we were close. We knew we were close and kind of say this. It has a good ring to it, but we were a clay away, and we feel like he's the guy that can take us over the top. Now, I think that's a little bit foolish if you're just copy and pasting last year's roster and you're bringing in Klay Thompson and you're moving on, obviously, I guess, you know, THJ or whatever. But to me, it's the Klay Thompson factor for sure. But, man, the Najee Marshall factor, I think, is also really big here. I wonder how much better we're going to feel at some point during the season where it's like, wow, Najee Marshall for airplane mode. And all of a sudden, you know, Derek Jones Jr., and it's like, I think that is actually going to be a pretty nice upgrade as well.
More consistent outside shooter, as good of a defender, maybe a little bit better as a team defender. I think that thing could be huge. I don't know if they're a Klay Thompson away. Like, were the Miami Heat a Ray Allen away 12 years ago? Because I think that's the role Klay Thompson's going to have, and I think the answer for Miami would have been a yes. You know? They might not
like that comp.
They wouldn't have beat the Spurs.
I like that comp a lot. I also think Quentin Grimes is a guy that's going to be better than we're giving him credit
for. And Quentin Grimes
more athletic, but Boston was way better. But it wasn't close.
They
lost Porzingis. It didn't even matter. They were still way better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just hoping, hey, can you get to the finals and then see what's happened to the or the Celtics along the way with some of the injuries and stuff. Who knows how banged up they could be, or maybe something happens and another team in the East goes on a run, but you feel good about, can we at least get back to the finals here and then see what happens? But there was no question that you needed more three-point shooting and spacing in that finals, and hopefully the combination of Klay Thompson and Najee Marshall helped solve that for you.
You know, one thing's for sure, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown don't get along great. Guy didn't want him on Team USA, apparently. You know, so things can happen. You know, post-championship, managing that success can be very, very difficult to sustain. Obviously, a lot of guys have to sacrifice to win you a championship, and you can feel fed. You're not as hungry after you win big and maybe not willing to do as many of those things. So we'll see.
Yeah.
That group shouldn't be difficult to overcome, but what you're looking at is really the Jrue Holiday factor that made them so credible.
I'm glad you said that about the hunger factor, and we know Joe Mazzulla, who's their head coach, is maniacal, and that seems like the one coach that really would just refuse to allow that to creep into his locker room or whatever, but we're seeing it right now with the Denver Nuggets. Mm-hmm. Here's their coach, Michael Malone, basically just calling him soft.
Like tonight, I ran those guys the whole third quarter. And obviously Jamal didn't play in the second half, but played that starting unit the whole third quarter to try to push their envelope a little bit. And you know, that was probably a little bit hard on some of those guys. And then in practice, I think, you know, we can get up and down more. I think so often as coaches in modern day NBA, the league has gotten so soft, you know, everybody's afraid to condition and run. Well, we have to.
He was also asked if he felt like there was a sense of revenge in the air for the Nuggets this season after the way their season ended last year. And his quote was, "I haven't seen it." So he's pretty anti his own team right now. And we'll see how, of course, it evolves throughout the season.
You have to talk about, Jokic's personality. He is not a guy that's obsessed with greatness. Mm-hmm. You've taken away two or three of their two-way perimeter players. I just don't think they're as good as what they were their championship year. Mm-hmm. And, as the coach, I think he's great, and he knows what buttons to hit. But it comes down to more just the ability of your guys than the hunger most often.
Definitely not going to discuss in today's rim session the Bronny James preseason.
I thought he's been fantastic. Like, he might be in the starting lineup.
44 minutes, 4 points, 5 turnovers, 2 of 16 from the field, 0 of 7 from downtown, a minus 40 in the plus minus.
I think it was like plus 40, just and not, it was 44 points in 4 minutes.
Just not worth bringing up. But what is Victor Wembanyama, and he's got some quotes, dude. It sounds like this dude wants some smoke. He's got no issue just kind of putting his name on calling out current NBA superstars. Oh. He says he used to like some of the NBA stars until he realized they don't put in the right work.
Wow.
His quote is, "In a good way, some of them are really impressive and inspiring in the way they approach the game every night, but others that I used to like, now it's like, I'm just not sure they deserve it. Like, they don't seem like they put as much work in as I thought." Maybe that's a shot at the emaciated polar bear himself, the Joker.
Yeah, I don't know who he's talking about. I'm not surprised, but I wish he'd name some names.
Yeah.
He'll
hop on a podcast. They'll pull it out of him at some point.
For sure. But I'm terrified, This guy's got everything, the skill, the size, the quickness, the instincts, and apparently the drive. That's Kobe-esque.
He also said that an Olympic gold medal would mean more than an NBA championship.
Sure, yeah. I mean, if you can get it done for France, massive underdog against Team USA, getting it done for your country, I could see that.
Sure, Spurs fans love to hear that, though.
Yeah, well, the Spurs played the Heat last night, and Tyler Hero said, "Victor Wembanyama makes you bring out different things to finish over him. His length is crazy," pause. So that's the analysis that you are getting from Tyler Hero. I do think Wemby is, Wemby's a top 10 player already.
Yeah, where do you think Wemby was? The Ringer. So we had like dueling top 100s. We don't have the top 10 yet for ESPN's. The Ringer has released all of their top 100. Where do you think Wemby is?
12.
Give me 15.
He's 15. 11, isn't he?
11, 12, 15. He's number 4.
Ooh.
He's number 4?
He's 4 on the Ringer's top 100 behind Jokic, Giannis, and Luka. They've got him as the 4th best player right now.
That's awesome.
That's getting ahead of it right there.
Yeah, you're betting on a big, but I think they'll be closer than ESPN's list by the time we get to the end of the season.
Yeah, end of the season, he's closer to top 5 than outside the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and what did we see? He put on like 25 pounds or something in this offseason. He's not just a skinny dude necessarily anymore, so he's starting to fill out, and he's clearly the kind of guy that works on his craft if he's pointing the finger at others that aren't.
Yes.
So he's a dude that you feel like will come back with even more moves, even though we saw him Euro-stepping and stuff, but his presence alone is just a game-changer defensively. He's a joy to watch. It sucks that he's in that uniform.
It really does, man. You want to talk to a kid like that and say, you want to be in a big market. You want to go to, like, New York, don't you? You want to get probably on the East Coast, closer flight home.
Mm.
I mean, San Antonio, it's a tiny town. You can't dominate for your sponsors there. Young That's man, right. Let's get going.
Maybe he likes big women, though.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, him and Charles would have that in common.
Hey, I'd like to introduce you guys to Yuki Kawamura. You
good passer.
From the Grizzlies?
Yeah.
Get to know him. Move over, John Morant.
He gets my guy from Purdue the ball a lot.
Yeah, Zach Edey.
Your Edey. Purdue guy?
Yeah.
I thought it was Eddie.
Is it Edey?
I mean, what do you think it is?
Zach Edey.
No, you said Eddie.
Zach Edey.
That was weeks ago, Walsh.
I learned that. Eric told me, Zach Edey.
It is.
Well, Yuki K is
a good passer.
He's 23 years old. He's 5'8", and it might be move over Ja Morant, make a place. There's a new floor general in town.
Yuki.
And his name's Yuki. 10 points, 7 assists, 3 threes, 25 minutes off the bench. And here is the Grizzlies broadcast just describing our guy Yuki.
Every pass from Yuki is a no-look pass.
And it's true. When you look at his highlight reel, it is.
This dude's 5'8".
He's 5'8". He's completely electric. He's got a 3-ball. He's got incredible vision. If this dude was 6'4", I think you're talking about him being a true bona fide player. But he's awesome, and I wasn't familiar with his game, but I am now, yeah. And I look forward to seeing what type of usage he gets there with the Memphis Grizzlies.
UK Shinoda?
At 5'8", his pick and roll game with Edie is pretty dang special.
Not the Formula One driver, bro. What are you doing over
there? And I'm not joking. That Grizzlies guy was not being hyperbolic when he says every pass is a no-look pass. Oh, no. Every pass is a no-look pass. He's nutmegging dudes. He's throwing. Yeah. He's like airbending a little bit. So I'm excited for this guy.
It's amazing how awesome you can be at basketball and not really get that great of a look. You know, like you just full of these guys. They were pretty good college players, and they're showing up at like G League tryouts. They got highlights. They got threes. They got all kinds of handles, and the NBA is like, yeah, he'll never cut it.
He's over here boxing out Dwight Powell.
I cheer for guys like that. I love the smaller dudes, your Muggsy Bogues, your Spud awesome. Webbs.
Yes, especially when you play fun like this guy.
Yeah.
This dude is like, he's got like a Globetrotter vibe to his game.
Mm. Let's go. Okay, when we come back, G-Bag Nation, it's time for Krusty's Corner. Where are you taking us today, Brian?
Yeah, we're going to make my guys grade some players. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. John Machota of The Athletic talking Cowboys with you coming up at 4 o'clock. Krusty's Corner is brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king of the Krusty's, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Thank you very much to Reliant as well for being a part of this. At the bye week, I wanted to see if I can get some old-school grades on some of these players from you guys, just on what you've seen through first 6 weeks. Of the season.
You want me to go old school with you?
Just an old school. You're going to give them an L and F. Is that what you're going to do?
A, B, C, D, F.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was. And you can throw a minus or a plus in there if you think a little bit more, a little bit closer, maybe not as good. You know, I'm just going to ask you a player, and I'm just kind of, if you would give me the grade and then why you gave him the grade, if you would. Does that make sense for everybody today?
I think so. I think I'm following along here.
I'm going to do my best.
You're going to do
your best? Chuck's a little confused, but...
I am confused. Well, that's kind of just the story of my life.
Learn on the fly.
I'll start with Dawson then. How about that?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think he can lead you on the path.
I'm a B-minus student, so...
Okay. There you go. I was more of like a C's get degrees guy.
Gotcha. Dawson.
Yeah, I love seeing those 77s come back.
I know, bro. If I could get a 77.
Moving on up. Luka.
Give me the Luka. Dawson. Mm-hmm. Trayvon Diggs.
Just Trayvon.
Trayvon Diggs.
Trayvon.
I'll give him a C+. C+. Hasn't been good enough coming back from injury. Got cooked. What? One pick? No picks? You no pick, man?
One pick.
Yeah. He's just okay. Not worth the money. C+.
Yeah. But you, Chief.
He's an F for me. I can't stand watching him play. He has a $97 million contract. And he's running around. You want to talk like that's a guy you're building your team around. That's one of your cornerstones. Mm. And he's got a bunch of dudes that don't belong to, like, they shouldn't be on the field with him because most of these guys are, I mean, the defensive line at times had four guys playing on it that weren't here in August. So, and he's not, $97 million is not raising his hand like, guys, I'm going to do something today. I'm going to earn my money as the only one here that's earning considerable dollars. This team has invested big money into me, and every time I see David Montgomery, I will intentionally get out of the way. It's embarrassing. And if I was Jerry Jones, if I was Mike McCarthy, I know it's always like, hey, you want to defend your guys, and then maybe behind closed doors you give it to them. Not for Diggs, dude. That is straight up embarrassing.
So you failed him on through 6
Totally. 100%.
How about you there, Wooly?
Go with a D. He has not been good, and certainly the cowardice way in which he's playing the cornerback position physically is frustrating. I don't expect a ton from him because we know he's that type of player when it comes to, even though we've seen him do it before, which is somewhat annoying, but it's the coverage aspect of it. It's like games on the line, and here I am, like we got a chance to maybe find a way to win, and you don't come through with a big play against Baltimore, right? Jamison Williams, you're giving up a big chunk play to him. I think New Orleans, there was another chunk play that he was responsible for giving up as well. Some
explosives against him, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, and granted, look, everybody comes back differently from that injury, but grading him to what we've seen this point, yeah. I'm going to go with a D.
Yeah, I think I would go with the D as well. I think his technique is really bad. You know, the other day with Williams, he misses the jam. on, you know, with hands. He's playing press coverage. He misses jam. Williams gets past him. Now it's a touchdown. And there's a lot of things that have happened with him with the tackling and things. I totally agree. Chief, I think that's a strong grade on your part, though, too. Chief, I will come back to you. Jake Ferguson.
You know, the expectations I had for him, and he's still amongst tight ends. He's still holding his own, but I was expecting a bigger leap forward for him. The play where Dak's rolling to his right and throwing all the way back to the left there on the sideline, that's a play where, dude, I feel like he should have made that play. So that's disappointing. But he's not a bad player. I would say because I had higher expectations for him, I'll probably just give him a C passing grade, but I was hoping for at least a B+ out of you, man.
Dawson?
Ferguson, just been okay. I'll go B-. You know, again, not the explosive plays aren't happening. He's a pretty good player, but not one that the other team has to worry about or can punish you if you're paying attention to others. So just pretty good guy.
What about you, Wooly?
Yeah, I'll go with a B- here. I mean, he's still got games with 6, 7, 6 catches. He's averaging basically a first down every time he catches the football. But I certainly expected more. I thought Jake Ferguson was going to take that step into like top 5 tight end conversation. And hey, maybe the knee injury week 1 had something to do with this, but also no touchdowns yet to this point in the season. I thought he was a guy that could maybe help you with some of that red zone stuff.
Yeah, I thought he was playing like at a C+ level right now. Yeah. My expectations for him were a lot higher. You know, you haven't seen the run after catch and things like that we've seen in the past.
He just flashes those things.
Yeah, and that's what always worries you as a player, as a scout, flash players.
Mm.
Flash players will flash a play, and then they'll disappear for 6 plays, and I think that worries me a little bit. Wooly. Mm-hmm. CeeDee Lamb.
I think I got to go a C for CD. Like he's had probably your best offensive moments with some of the stuff that he's done, still made some amazing catches, but you're talking about an all-pro receiver that was in the conversation for best wide receiver in the sport a year ago. And, you know, he basically gets himself the fumble, and now mentally he's out of the game against Baltimore. The last 2 weeks you've had miscommunication with him and Dak Prescott. The expectation for CeeDee Lamb is you are a top 5 wide receiver, and he is certainly and look, there's a lot of factors that go into that. The scheme, the play calling, the quarterback. When you're a receiver, you need a lot to go right around you. But he also has not been living up to expectations. Passing grade, he's had some great moments, but all in all, the body of work for me, a little lackluster there. I'd go with a C.
Chieftain.
Yeah, I'm going the same way here. It's interesting that he's not getting the targets. Like, he's only got 2 games with double-digit targets this year.
Right.
So there's a lot that's out of his hands, but all the miscommunication stuff that's gone down between him and Dak. He's had a couple of drops or whatever, but disappearing in games. And I know defenses are really trying to account for him, and the lack of other guys that scare a defense is a huge factor there. So, again, a lot of this is not necessarily his fault, but he still has not lived up to what he was supposed to be.
Gavin Dawson.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a D. You know, he's given you about 75% of the production from last year, which would be a C, but I'll downgrade him because I don't think his attitude and leadership has been there. I think overall it's been a distraction. And, you know, right now they need great players to go out there and be great. Same time, he's producing enough, you know, 3 games of really good production. And there's so much that's out of his control. There's not credible weapons elsewhere. You don't have a good offensive line. I just think there's only so much that like a Pro Bowl quarterback and wide receiver can do when they're kind of fighting an uphill battle like that.
Chief.
Yes, sir.
Mike McCarthy.
Oh, man.
And if you want to, give me the coach and then give me the play caller.
That I would like to replace him?
No, give me the coach. Give me the grade for the coach. Give me the grade as a coach.
Oh,
and give
okay.
Me the grade as a play. Pick either one.
Yeah. I don't know how you can. I don't know how you can do anything other than probably a D. He doesn't have a ton to work with when it comes to some personnel stuff, especially defensively. But his offense, he is the offensive coach.
Yeah.
So he has to really shoulder everything offensively. and they've lost Brandon Cooks, and now they're dealing with a Guyton thing. But it's not like they got guys falling apart all over the place.
Right.
And he can't score a touchdown against the Lions. His offense is being compared to the teams that you would never want to be compared to. It's like, yeah, the Cowboys are right there with the Panthers, dude. Their offense sucks that bad. So this is, honestly, it's an F.
Yeah. How about you there, Dawson?
You know, I think so much of it comes down to the inability of, you know, the head coach here to get that message home to Jerry Jones, you know, as far as what kind of a team, how aggressive we need to be. Like when he said last year and again this year, we don't need any help. That's exactly what this front office doesn't need to hear. They don't need to hear that the status quo is okay. And then, you know, the play design stuff. That being said, as a head coach, I think he could work if you had a great coordinator, but he doesn't realize he needs a new coordinator. So I'm going to give him an F.
Woolley.
Yeah, it's an F, and the thing that annoys me, and I've tried to give Coach McCarthy credit during this tenure here by, you know, being a coach that's provided consistent winning and a team that's consistently in the playoffs, which this team wasn't, but there's also a consistent excuse-making that comes from him, and I think the excuses then trickle down to now the players can make excuses, and then when you have Jordan Lewis, an ex-player that's talking about the attention to detail, yeah, and then Dax talking about the practice.
Right.
That's a reflection on the head coach. Not to mention he's the play caller and the offense is stale and disgusting, and for 2 years he's wanted to talk about running the football, and he has not been able to implement that whatsoever. So it's a failure all the way across the board, and you've just given up the biggest home loss in the Jerry Jones era, and you've gotten completely embarrassed 3 times at home. A coach that's doing a good job does not allow those things to happen.
Yeah, I think it absolutely is an F when you start to talk about coaching, when you have players come out and talk about preparation, he talks about preparation as well. That falls on him. You know, every week I would love to sit there and watch practice like we did in training camp and try and figure out what they're really, really working on here, you know. And so to me, players, coaches, everybody talking about that's absolute F. And as a play caller, I have to give him a D minus because I'm looking at the situations with, you know, with, I watch tape of other teams play. And I watch guys get separation. I watch red zone efficiency. I watch teams move the ball that have far less talent than he does. And I think that, to me, that's really inexcusable. But the biggest thing for me is that when your coaches and players talk about lack of preparation and practice and need to work harder and do things like that, that's on the head coach, and that's a real shame here.
Yeah, you know, and as a lame duck coach, I think there's a reason you don't want those, because oftentimes they don't hold a real strong mandate, yeah, in their locker room. It's hard to, you know, get everybody on the same page when they know it's probably your last year. Sean and RJ's next remote will be Friday at the Denton Firehouse off 35. Next chance to get you a G-Bag Nation flag. Go say hi. Chief's going to be out there with free breakfast and Sean and RJ giveaways. John Machota of The Athletic will get his thoughts on the Cowboys here at a bye week next in the Nation. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.